Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live at Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite, where I can report to you there is enough pizza here to feed a small battalion. So if you're thinking about coming out here, hopefully getting a G-bag flag, maybe you need to get your garage door needs taken care of, we also have pizza courtesy of CeCe's. And I'm going to try to take it even step further. If you go to CeCe's in Rockwall or Rowlett anytime today, mention that you're a Tolo, you get a free drink with your meal.
Kevin,
you're welcome.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome, too. Here's what's awesome for me is this is my neck of the woods. This is where
Heck, I grew up,
my stomping grounds. I literally grew up right across the highway, and so people are coming in, and they're like, hey, you went to BA, right? And I went to BA, or my wife went to BA. Tolo right here, just said his wife grew up in my neighborhood.
Oh.
She graduated 2 years behind me, so this is, for me, like very reflective. I'm having a great time today, man.
And then from the 214, shout out to Tolbert Garage Door. They just left my house, and my garage door is running good
there
as
we
new.
Go.
That's the same thing they did for me 3 weeks ago. Right now. Let's turn it over, courtesy of Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. To our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, good morning, sir.
Boy, you guys are really popular. That's all I got to say.
I'm saying, Mickey, you don't get to number one in this Metroplex without a lot of networking.
So, there you go.
I feel like we're going to start our conversation almost the exact same way we did last Thursday. I am alarmed when I look at the practice and injury report. I realize it was just Wednesday, but you understand why I might be alarmed, right?
Just because there was 5 guys that didn't practice and 10 were limited?
Yes. Yes.
I think from the limited group, there's a couple guys that might be more limited than others.
Which would be,
Tyler Guyton was in concussion protocol, and he was actually out there dressed for practice. So that's kind of a good sign from the limited group.
Right.
It just depends on how much he was able to do. Marshawn Nealon also, who ended up, you know, being inactive last week with an ankle. He was out there, but again, I was just wondering how much he and Miles Sanders did. And then I think the big question marks would be Tyler Smith and Wanye Thomas, especially since Tyler didn't play last week.
Okay, so walk me through this, if you will, because I know he dressed out and was ready in case of like an emergency last week, Tyler Smith, that is. I guess I made the incorrect assumption then that he would be good to go for this game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the reason he was dressed out is because they needed 8 offensive linemen
dressed.
So they can elevate 2 guys off the practice squad.
Right.
Kind of reminded me of my old days in intramurals when we had a scrappy soccer team and we had just enough guys to play. And then we had 2 guys get hurt in the game. And so since we, to continue playing, we had 1 guy just go and kneel down in the corner of the field.
Oh, my gosh.
So we would have enough on the field.
See, I'm disappointed. I thought you were about to tell a story of when you were an offensive lineman, and I was getting really stoked to hear that story.
Well, we'll save that for another day.
Okay.
And the guy that was the assistant head of intramurals came and saw what we were doing. He goes, Mickey, no, you can't do this. This game's over with.
Oh.
Yeah. I thought I had a good idea, right?
Yeah.
Go sit in the corner. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah. That does not seem against the rules,
no.
But you know,
we had enough on the field.
We can't retroactively go back and fix that now, though.
So, anyway, I think that's what happened with Tyler Booker. And we'll, not Booker.
Tyler Smith. Yeah, I got you.
Getting my Tylers right. The good news on Booker, who, you know, was out, but He was at least doing resistance cord work, so that was a step in the right direction. He and CeeDee Lamb, Turpin, who was out, said he's, you know, out of the boot, and he thinks maybe next week he would be ready to go, and then we'll have to see on Donovan Wilson what happens there.
Yeah, because Donovan Wilson felt like the, I don't know, on a list that long, it might be difficult to say this. He felt like, I guess, a little bit of the surprise to pop up on the list.
Yeah.
And I know, to your point, Turpin had said, yeah, probably not this weekend against the Panthers, but maybe next weekend.
Yeah, and I think maybe the same for CD, see how he gets through this week and see if he can practice next week. So, you know, I just think at some point, and you know, this is kind of a sweeping generalization, but when you play two overtime games to the end, like 10 extra minutes in two games, I think it takes a toll on guys, leaving them more susceptible to not only injuries, but not recovering from smaller things as fast as you would like after playing maybe 70 minutes in two games.
Yeah.
Mickey, how close is Donovan Ezeraku to getting this sack?
Yeah, I think he's real close.
Mark that.
Yes, because I see him, his snaps increasing each week, which means more opportunities, and he seems to be pretty darn active out there. And for a rookie to, you notice when 41's out there, I think is a good step in the right direction. And I think he's adding something at an early age in the NFL to that Cowboy pass rush that we'll see if it indeed is building. You know, okay, nice one game. Now can you do it again? And I think that'll be key for Sunday against Carolina.
Yeah, because I've been telling Kevin each week, like, it seems like since we saw him in camp in the preseason games, he's added a little more, and it seems like he's getting closer and closer and closer. And so that makes me feel like the consistency will be there once he gets to that point.
Yeah, and I think the other thing he's doing, and a lot of times you don't expect this for a guy that, you know, is heralded coming out of college with 16 and a half sacks.
Yeah.
He's playing the run well. I think he's doing a better job of setting the edge and not getting caved in inside. And
which happened a lot early, yeah.
Yes, it did. And so that's one thing I think young guys have to realize. This isn't all about sacks. So you got to be able to play the run, and they certainly will need to play the run this week against Carolina.
Now, are you saying that because Rico Dowdle
buckle up?
Did so well last week, or because you've seen Bryce Young play football in the NFL?
And saw what the Jets did last week, right?
Yeah.
It's a copycat league, and they're going to look and say, oh, that's why they ran so well. So, yeah, they're going to have to do a much better job against the run than they did last week, leaking too many big run plays. You know, if it's just kind of consistent and they get to 100, okay, fine, but can't have those long 10, 15, 20-yard runs that they got hit for. That's just too much. So I would imagine Carolina having success in the running game with Rico last week with 206 yards, they're going to say, okay, let's see if they figured out what, you know, what they were susceptible against the Jets to see if they figured it out.
Okay, and in line with that, this is kind of about the Cowboys. It might be like your general philosophy on the NFL. The Cowboys, 2.32 seconds to generate pressure last week. That was their fastest this season. Do you think there is an inherent trade-off in run defense if you're getting to the quarterback that you know, that quickly or time and time again? Or do you just think, no, you can get to the quarterback and still play good run defense? The Cowboys just did not do that last weekend.
Yeah, and I think that it's like an overarching stat. So did those pass rushes come in basically predictable pass rush downs, which you're hoping, right?
Sure.
But if they're also, you know, trying to get to the quarterback when they're running the ball, then that's a different thing. So I wonder how they judge that. Like, you can get to the quarterback after he hands off and get faked out. You better not be counting those as pressures, right?
Right.
So I think that, that would depend on when they got there that fast. Was it a predictable pass play, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7? Were they doing that when there was run possibilities and then got gashed?
You made reference to the buckle up comment from Rico Dowdle. Like, I get why he said that. He had a phenomenal game last week, whereas, as you were just mentioning, the Cowboys run defense far from phenomenal last weekend. Do you go into this game and look at Rico Dowdle and say, man, I see a real deal threat in this game?
Oh, I would think, regardless of where he played previously, when you put up a number like that, that's a threat. Now, I see where Chuba Hubbard did not practice. Did I see that again? Let me double check to make sure. Yeah, Hubbard DNP'd, so be interesting to see what he does today, because I would think if he doesn't practice today, you're going to get Rico Dotto making his second start of the season. Which is, you got your first start and you did well. And I think, towards the end of the season, I think the Cowboys saw how valuable he was. But again, I went back and looked at the date. So he agreed to terms with Carolina 2 days before the start of free agency. So, when they had that, that period? Tampering period or whatever you want to call it. He had already agreed, and so they might have been trying to re-sign him and didn't give him the guarantees that that Carolina did. And then at the first day of free agency, the Cowboys go, okay, well, we're signing Javonte Williams for a little less guarantee, and both of them on a one-year deal. So that kind of gives you some context to how it went down.
Mickey, didn't Schottenheimer's explanation of how he found Clayton Adams kind of feel like the old school way of dating before Tinder? he heard about him from another friend and then went to go pursue him on the field whenever he saw him, and then they built a relationship that way.
Well, I think they were together when they were in Indianapolis, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he mentioned that it was Jack Doyle that had played under him. And yeah. So he had talked to Jack Doyle, and Jack Doyle was like, this is a guy you want to know.
Yeah, and then you just kind of, as you move on, you keep track of where guys were that made an impression of you.
Yep.
And I think, he knew where he was as an offensive line coach last at Arizona. They were able to get him as a, kind of quote-unquote offensive coordinator for a title to get him as an offensive line coach. So they really doubled down on the offensive line with Clayton Adams and Connor Riley, which was a good pairing. And then I think the other thing that maybe goes unnoticed is Lunda Wells was a former offensive lineman and offensive line coach.
That's
that
true.
Became a tight ends coach. And I think those guys did a much better job run blocking, going so much to tight end offense than they had previously. So, kind of credit to him to get those guys going. If you're going to play two tight ends, the object is, okay, I got extra blockers out there. So that was a good thing.
And talking about the offensive line, I was reading something about it. I didn't know quite as much about the personality of TJ Bass as I did Brock Hoffman, but
right.
It talked about their friendship. But more importantly for Cowboys fans, it seems like those two playing alongside one another have really gelled.
Yes, no, you're exactly right. And, look back no further than training camp.
Yeah.
Because they were on the second line together.
Right.
At that time. So they were used to playing with each other the previous year. At times they played alongside each other. I think it helps when you have some familiarity with so much newness on that offensive line, because really those guys there playing together next to each other probably were more familiar than the other two.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys that had to start and just have that many guys starting at once. You know, when you have backups, you go, okay, that guy's the swing tackle. And if this guy goes in, well, if we need a center or guard, he can go in. But when you need all four at the same time, I just think that's unprecedented, especially here with the Cowboys, to have that happen with that much success running for 180 yards.
Yeah, I will be very intrigued to see that part of the offensive line, or I guess whatever combination we put out there going forward.
Just put all the linemen
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, look, that's kind of what he
I'm
said with the tight
all
ends.
Them, yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much for the time, good sir. We will catch up with you again tomorrow.
All right, good day for Friday.
Hey, I'll find out if it's a good day when I see that injury report later today, okay?
See if it like slims down just a little bit.
Look,
and that'll help his prediction.
Well, weren't
for
you
tomorrow.
Glad to see three guys full, though?
Yes. I was, but can I tell you a trap I fall into with the injury report? I don't know if you ever do this. Well, I guess you're out at practice and everything. Is I just open it up, and if I see it's a long list, I don't always take the time at first to look at the designations. I'm just like,
no.
My God, there's still 18 people on here. And then I calm down and look at the designations and go about my day.
Yeah, the limited, sometimes you're just covering yourself. Because the guy didn't take all the snaps or, you know, and how much he actually practiced. So you kind of got to list those guys. So it goes on in the league. Everybody doesn't want to try and get fined for hiding things. So if you're limited, you're in limbo there on being active on Sunday.
True. Thank you very much,
okay.
Sir. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Sure thing.
There you go, Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105 Through the Fan. Alec, quick question for you. Did you hear that captivating question that Corey asked Mickey about Donovan Ezeraco?
Everybody heard it.
Yeah, everybody did.
Everybody heard it.
All
they've all texted in.
Watts.
Hey, Alec, make sure to mark that for night for Friday.
Yeah. Oh. Do you think Mickey's mad that he's like, well, I just lost Masterpiece of the Week to
you
Corey?
You heard him laughing. You could hear him laughing.
Good. We're the KNC Masterpiece live from Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite. You got us. You got G-Bag Flags. You got pizza. What else could somebody want coming up next? Perhaps they want this. It's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus one of the most unique auctions you're ever going to see next on the
Ooh.
Fan.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live from Tolbert Garage in Mesquite, where what I want you to do is have a conversation with Colby Tolbert, and I want you to see how many times he can use a curse word in the span of 60 seconds. I'm to put the over-under at...
I've never heard him cuss.
Oh, man, you've never had a conversation with him then. I'm going to put the over-under at 5.5. I would like you guys to come out here, test that. That could be... Yeah, okay, well, we're still on the air. You might have to dump that, you stupid jerk. All right, so we're out here, and you should come out here nonetheless. We got pizza. We got G-Bag Flags. It is an extravaganza, as is this segment right here.
What does this button do? Please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. 877-881-1053. Yeah. That's the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, the tie-in to the question of the day, one of the most unique auctions that you're going to see probably ever. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. Actually, right. That's a good point. It's a very good point.
Next to the Pope Ball.
This is actually more than 1,000 items that we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. And it's based here in Dallas, Texas. So we'll get to that in a few moments. But before we get to any of that, gentlemen, I do want to remind you about this Saturday, 2 to 6 p.m., Oklahoma, Texas Watch Party. rooftop pool at the Highland Hotel in Dallas. We're going to have G-Bag flags available for you, a barbecue buffet, Tito's drink specials, all kinds of fun going on. Fan talent, including myself, will be there this Saturday, 2 to 6 p.m. at the Highland Hotel here in Dallas. Come out. You don't want to miss it. But
Alec, did you just hear the people in here yell Boomer?
Mm-hmm.
I heard Corey.
We have, well, we there is another person standing here. Right over here.
Yep, it is going to happen.
So we got Oklahoma fans here. I don't really know what's
gonna
happening.
Mateer's going to play and not ever throw the ball. It's going to be amazing.
Okay. He's going to be like the belldozer.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be like that guy on Mickey's intramural team that just goes and sits in the corner of the field.
Yeah, that actually would be amazing. I can't wait to see him hand the ball off and run the ball a million times and still find a way to beat Texas. That's going to be incredible.
Same.
So, gentlemen, we are going to start today's question of the day. I mentioned it's going to tie in a little bit to the story that we're going to talk about. If you could go into the warehouse, into the vault of any of your favorite TV shows or movies and just start taking home props, what would you want to take from 877-881-1053?
All right, Alec, I hope this answer is acceptable. I think it fits the spirit of your question.
Okay.
Years and years ago, the Fox and the Simpsons auctioned off an actual house that was livable, that was a replica of the Simpsons house.
Huh.
And the person who won it, I think they sold it like straight away. And that is a damn shame. I would pick that.
I like that. And the fact that it's something so massive, too.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Like it's not just like, they made a prop of like Homer's pink donut or something.
No,
like,
yeah. It was the real deal. And it was like actually constructed. It wasn't just like a facade or whatever. It was the actual house.
Would they put it on like the back of a truck and bring it to you?
I think you'd have to move to the place. It was like the foundation was laid. It was set. It wasn't going.
Would you ever have to get the roof repaired for that one?
Well, if I did, looks like I would be using Greystone roofing.
Kevin, you know my favorite show is Sports Night.
Yes.
They had
Alec, have you ever seen that show?
I have not.
I know you get backed up with stuff that people want you to watch. Sports Night's only two seasons. It's like it was a sitcom on ABC, so it's like 22, 23 minutes an episode. It is really good, and it's set in the world of like a kind of a faux Sports Center.
Yeah, well, it was Aaron Sorkin basically had worked at Sports Center for a while, and he just basically wrote the show about what he observed, kind of like he did with West Wing.
Yep.
And then it was I think if you watch like the opening segment.
I think you'll like it a lot.
That's where you go, oh, he's not wearing pants while also delivering the sports news.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. It made you think, that's exactly what these guys do. I would want their desk, their sports desk. It's like their Sports Center desk, but it says CSC on it, and I would want that one, and I would put it in the living room, and Adrian would have to deal with it. Right. It would be, instead of having like our little entertainment center, our TV would sit above that.
You know, Alec,
I like that.
Corey and I both made bold choices for somebody who's married. I am moving our entire family. And Corey is like, this living room now looks the way I want it to look. So we made some choices.
And she's like, go get yourself another house for your own living room. And I'm like, well, crap. I guess I got to go to Kevin's.
Hey, and the least shocking development of this whole thing, Corey trying to add another table to his house.
That is a very valid point. Yeah. But I did take a table away.
Oh, okay.
But I'm actually just probably moving that to another room.
Exactly. See, you can't avoid the allegations of being the table man himself. 877-881-1053, a show or movie that you could just go raid the warehouse full of props and take home some stuff. I see Darth Vader's lightsaber from Return of the Jedi.
I'm going to change my answer. Nope. I want that one. Is that allowed?
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
Yeah, you already said it.
Well,
it's your segment, Alec.
That feels a lot more logical than a whole house.
See, here's the problem, though, Alec. Never mind. I'm going back to the house, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I was just thinking about this. You know what's going to happen, and so do I. I'm not going to put that lightsaber up in a case to display. I'm clearly going to get in a fight with somebody about it, and I'm probably going to break it. And so I'm going to go back to the house. That's a great answer, but I think I would be irresponsible with that lightsaber.
That's That's fair, and I like the self-reflection there. That's very positive, Kevin. From the 214, the motorcycle Mavericks had in Top Gun. That's a really good
one. Oh, that's a good answer.
Dude, what about the airplane from Top Gun?
I mean, if we're taking whole houses, may as well take a plane, too.
All right.
Or the cruise ship.
You know what? As long as we're giving you things to watch, have you ever seen the documentary Dude, Where's My Jet? On Netflix?
No. Oh, yes, yes. Okay. With the Pepsi thing?
Yeah, Alec, that's another thing. If you haven't seen it, it was about redeeming Pepsi points for, like, an F-16 or something along those lines. It is really entertaining.
Huh.
And it's a true story.
I'm going to have to write that one down, then, because that does sound intriguing. From the 601, they say Michael Keaton's Batman, and they would take the Batmobile, which... That's another answer.
Man, you guys are doing great this morning. That is a good answer.
Let's see. I did see from Black and Gold B out of the 214, Game of Thrones or something from Downton Abbey for my wife.
I've never seen Downton Abbey.
I have not either.
Adrian watched the whole thing. And there were times when I'd roll through and sit down and be like, dude, this is super classy. And then the rest of the times I'd be like, this is the most boring I've ever most boring.
Okay.
And like, what is happening? They're living life in a castle. And I was like, but they're not even arguing or anything. They're just living and talking about stuff. And I was
does not sound like the most exciting. It was very.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Very Britain, you know?
I gotcha.
Okay. From the 469, they are going very Kevin here and saying the entire Yellowstone Ranch.
Oh, see, I like some of these choices are made for monetary gain. I get that.
Hey, real estate is money, man.
Yeah.
See, from the 940.
I'm sorry. I probably could have added more to that, but you're right, Alec.
From the 940, I really like this one because this probably could be my reason just to make bad decisions and I could have something to blame it on. The Green Goblin mask from the Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, because...
Does that person consider themselves a villain? I wonder.
Oh, or maybe they're just a hero and they're misunderstood. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Depends on how they describe it. I'm going to go with their definition
All
of it.
Right.
Follow back 940. Do you consider yourself a villain or just somebody who's misunderstood?
Yeah.
Appreciate the interaction there. And the reason I bring this up, and I want y'all to please keep coming with those answers for stuff that you would want to take from a movie or a TV show that you love, 877-881-1053. Kevin, you're very familiar with this group of people. Heritage Auctions here in Dallas.
My buddy Jeremy.
They have teamed up with AMC Network and they unveiled what I think is going to be one of the coolest, most unique auctions ever. They have unveiled the Walking Dead Universe Auction and it features more than 1,000 in-show props, costumes, set pieces, and even actual walkers from the show.
Oh, what?
So this is going to be spanning.
You mean biters?
Yes, biters.
Yeah, I think there's like 9 different phrases they have.
Okay.
There is. There's two.
Alec.
But walkers is the only one anybody knows.
Alec, can I co-opt your question of the day right here and right now then?
Sure.
I am actually talking with Heritage Auctions at this exact moment to get an item
like you're talking to the show.
For Peace-a-thon. Do you guys have suggestions for a Walking Dead item to see if maybe I can get that?
Carl's hat.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, Carl.
Carl. Yeah.
Carl.
Does anybody listening remember when Corey would do all the dad jokes as Rick? And he'd be like, hey, Carl.
Carl.
That
hey, Carl,
is...
Carl.
I am so sad that segment went away.
Maybe one day we'll bring it back.
Bring it back because I used to do that in high school with my buddies. We would talk as Rick Grimes all the time. So that, please bring that back.
It would be like, hey, Carl.
Hey, Carl.
How come a chicken coop doesn't have 4 doors? Dad, don't. Because then it'd be a chicken sedan. So, like, It was like stuff like that all the time. And it was as stupid as it sounds, but it made at least one person here
laugh.
Well,
this is as cool as it sounds, because this is going to be running all the way from now until November 1st. It is live right now on the Heritage Auctions website. And just some things that people that are fans of the show would recognize that are up there, because it's not just random stuff. There is some like random smaller props that were like in the background of a scene that maybe my dad's a huge fan of this, so maybe I'll try to sneak away with something for Christmas, you know, one of the cheaper items if I can. That would be very cool. But some major stuff from the show is up here, like Daryl Dixon's crossbow from seasons one through three. Negan's Lucille baseball bat.
A lot of people texting in saying that would be their thing, and I totally forgot about that.
Heritage Auctions is very nice. I don't know if they will give us that item. Mm-hmm, that feels like a long shot, but I'll try.
And Rick Grimes' sheriff hat.
Oh, that's a good one.
Like, real stuff that
get something
really,
from Shane.
Yeah, there's
he gave that to Carl. Yeah. He gave it to Carl.
There's some stuff that, like, you actually will recognize and that is almost like just iconic to some of these characters. There's vehicles being auctioned too from the show. So like whether it's a $500 item or something that could go north of $100,000, there's going to be all kinds of stuff going for crazy amounts of money. Again, it's over 1,000 items from The Walking Dead, the AMC smash hit show that lots of people have, you know, I know that I was one of those people when Negan got introduced. I stopped watching because I was so mad.
Yeah, it's infuriating. Yeah.
I did not. He's a great bad guy. I did not keep up. I did not finish the show. But there's a lot of people who are diehard fans. They're going to walk away with some iconic pieces of memorabilia.
I want to see if I can get a zombie.
And that's how
we're
going to.
Yeah, that's how we're going to end AM on the FM today.
Are you going to keep it chained up in the basement?
No,
I just got done watching Wednesday. It didn't work out.
It'll be a pretend zombie to auction off for Peace-a-thon.
Okay,
we're the KNC masterpiece right here.
You
on
too can get your zombie.
Yeah, that's a unique auction item. Last year, hey, look, last year we auctioned off Wills, so maybe that zombie that bought one of them. Coming up next. Shut up. It's time for Gridiron Gravy. Who are the most positive surprise NFL teams so far? We'll do that next live from Tolbert Garage in Mesquite on 105.3 The Fan.
Jones set to throw. He can run it. He can throw it. And diving in the end zone. Touchdown, Colts. Michael Pittman.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite. We're having a blast out here today. Come by. Talk to Colby. It's a fun time. Eat some pizza. Shoot some pool. We've been having a blast out here. Right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and rip it.
So I got a couple of injury updates for you tonight in terms of the Eagles and Giants game. Darius Slayton has been ruled out for the game for the Giants. However, on the flip side, N'Kobe Dean for the Eagles is expected to make his season debut tonight. Are you, and if so, how locked in are you for Thursday Night Football tonight, given the divisional nature?
Well, I did try to pick up Tyrone Tracy to add to my roster.
No luck?
No luck, but I was able to drop Darius Slayton.
Okay.
I also do have Saquon Barkley going tonight. So I am interested in the outcome.
I hope he scores lots of touchdowns for you. I would very much appreciate it if he ran for lower than 85.5 yards.
What if he received for 250 yards and scored one touchdown?
No problem.
Okay.
As long as it's fewer than 85.5
rushing yards. 15 catches for 200 yards and one touchdown, and I don't even need him to rush for a yard, Kevin.
I would also like it if they lost that game.
I'm perfectly okay with that, too. But I am definitely locked in more than just for the purposes of this. But
sure,
the outcome of it can be very telling, too, of what the Eagles are. Do they bounce back from that game? Or are they that meeting that they had, is that a problem that's going to fester for them for a little bit? So I mean, there's a lot going on there.
Now, for my primary question right here and right now, who do you guys think has been the most positive surprise NFL team thus far? Like, if you had to focus in on one, once again, I know there are options. I feel like I'm going to go with the Colts. I think the Colts are going to lead the way on this, but I wanted to pick y'all's brain as well because I came up with five teams that I thought I could be in the mix here.
I think the Colts are definitely the surprise team. Like, there, I don't think there's another surprise because, Kevin, we thought they'd be worse in the division
okay.
with Anthony Richardson, and the fact that they were even having a Daniel Jones-Anthony Richardson debate was laughable.
Is their divisional mate up in the mix as well then?
Jacksonville?
I don't think people had high hopes for Jacksonville.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good one, too. I think it's because the points, the efficiency offensively that the Colts have had, plus their defense is playing as well as you expected it to a couple years ago.
Right.
And it's back to what it was. Did somebody blow out a birthday candle?
It does kind of smell like the that. Or just any candle.
Yeah, the
that was DJ.
But it was I think the Jaguars would be a close second for me, but it's the Colts right now with how efficient their offense has been. I expect Trevor Lawrence to be better.
Okay.
I expected nothing. Zero.
Zilch.
Out of the quarterback position in Indianapolis.
All right, Alec, for you, do you stick in the AFC South, or is there another surprise team from the positive perspective that you think leads the way in the NFL?
I think the Colts is the easy answer and the number one seed, but one that I think I was a little bit lower on than more people was Seattle. I think Seattle's looking a lot better than I anticipated.
Okay, Alec, my list of five, because I also had the Colts at the top, but the ones that popped into mind to me were the Colts, the Jags, the Bucks, the 49ers, and the Seahawks. I'm with you on that, and part of that goes back to the conversation we had yesterday about Sam Darnold. I know after last year's regular season, what Darnold does in the playoffs, assuming they make it, is going to define him, but man, they're off to a heck of a start.
I'm really intrigued by that offense because I thought they were going to be hurting without that, you know, 1-2 combo of JSN and DK Metcalf. I know DK Metcalf is not as good as people want him to be.
Agreed.
But when he's paired up with a guy like JSN, who is a little bit more versatile in his skill set, he is really, really good, and he can be really, really good. But that offense does have more levels to it than I expected with a defensive-minded head coach, too. So, yeah, they've been a lot better than I anticipated.
Now for the negative surprises.
We'll do that tomorrow.
Tomorrow for the negative surprises.
You know why? Because another Dan Campbell quote. Let's go to Dan Campbell talking about the team's blitz strategy against Patrick Mahomes. Once again, I need to stress to you, this is a real quote that I swear I'm not making up in any way.
From a real man.
From a real man. Quote, you got to do a number of things with him. First of all, he can smell a rat from a mile away.
True.
If you're going to disguise, boy, it better be worthy of a Grammy. That's confusing. But don't worry about that part
right
now.
No, he's saying the acting.
The Grammy is not an acting award.
No, don't worry about it.
Okay. The guy sees it all, and he smells it immediately. He can alter protections. He can get to different things in the passing game. So what an amazing quote from Dan Campbell yet again.
This is why, Kevin.
I get it.
I know you're like, oh, he doesn't deserve Coach of the Year.
I will stand by that. I'm not saying he's not a good coach. He clearly is.
What did he not do to win to be a good coach this year?
He's not doing anything not to be a good coach.
He's being
the best
coach.
I just don't think he's the best coach.
He is the best coach.
Okay, but you could be the best coach and your team was awesome last year versus if your team was trash last year and you're good now, don't you think that person gets the award?
I think managing a good team also says something about what you've accomplished.
But you love the Detroit Lions.
I do have a little bit of love for Campbell and St. Brown.
All right.
He's my leading receiver. I need him to do – is he okay, by the way? I saw him pop up on that injury report
okay,
yesterday.
This is live coverage of right. Corey trying to figure out his fantasy team. All right, what do you guys think is a fair over-under for a Rico Dowdle rushing yards this weekend?
Dowdle, 95.
Okay.
I know everybody's going to like pop this 200 yards, but I mean, 95 is a pretty fair area.
The answer for Vegas is 71.5.
Okay.
Man, that feels low.
That's actually pretty fair, too.
Okay.
Look, the big, huge 200-yard number, I think a lot of people are
that's
going...
That's an anomaly,
like
sure.
That, yeah, and the Cowboys, obviously, now will be on high alert because of it. And then I think that they're probably looking at that, too, going, well, the Cowboys didn't look great against Breece Hall, so that means they're going to try and fix things. And Bryce Young probably isn't the greatest, like, threat except for him and Tet, like that combination.
Right.
They're probably thinking they're going to try to run, but the Cowboys are going to hone in on that and use that to try and stop that and say, we dare you to go downfield on us. We feel more comfortable there.
And the betting odds are a slight favorite that he will not have a touchdown, minus 150. But if he will get a touchdown, only plus 110. I don't really love the balance of those odds right there, but in case you were curious, for Dowdle this weekend against the Cowboys. Now, let's talk about Puka Nacua. Puka Nacua has 52 catches through five games this season.
Okay.
If he catches seven passes this weekend, he will set the record for most catches through a six-game span, previously held by Adam Thielen, who had 58 catches in the first six games of the 2018 season. I know he didn't, like, just arrive, but watching the continued monster numbers that Puka Nacua puts up is really, it's a treat, and I still remain, like, a little surprised.
I suggest the numbers are fun, and I know you love numbers. Like, you're like, oh, my
that
gosh.
That is true.
Numbers. watch him play.
For sure.
Like
when
you watch him, yes. You know, Kevin, we got to cover a lot of really good high school athletes, and every once in a while you'd see a guy that just went out there and pulled the ball out of the sky or fought it away from a defender and then took a big hit and got back up and just did his thing.
Yeah.
And that's what I watch in Puka. Now, I know he's had some injuries.
Sure.
But that's what I see in that dude. That's why he's fun to watch.
I know this pace is not sustainable, but right now he's on pace for 177 catches and 1,999 yards. Both of which, the receptions especially,
short,
would
though,
be record by a mile. That would still be a record, but you're right.
Yeah,
that would not reach.
Not 2,000.
Oh, so Corey
what
is
a
not,
bum.
Corey is not impressed by your so-called achievement.
Yeah.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You said it. What does it mean?
Okay.
Coming up next, it's time for your bold predictions for the Dallas Stars season. The season for the Stars starts tonight. We're about 7 hours away. So give us your bold predictions. 877-881-1053 for the Stars season. We'll do it next live from Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite on The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.